Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It is episode 42 of Stands and Fits, presented by the Professional MBA Program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University. I did it without even having to pause that time.
That was the best you've ever done it yet.
Thank you. And it is October 16th, 2018, and Iowa State is officially in the Big 12 doghouse.
Yeah, I was actually thinking you were going to go more of a positive direction, considering we just came off a huge win. But yeah, now you're right. As of like an hour ago, we are officially in the doghouse.
No, it's not. I'm not taking it a negative way. It's just I was kind of being sarcastic. I was being a sarcastic ass about it.
Well, I mean, like, still, it's like you say we're in the doghouse, and it's true, but.
But are
it's
we?
Stupid.
But are we?
Yes.
I don't.
Okay. Okay, remind people of the situation if they don't know already, which they should.
Iowa State has been fined $25,000 by the Big 12 Conference following a review of Iowa State's approach to security at the conclusion of the win over number 6 West Virginia Saturday night. And the field rush, Iowa State has decided to appeal the decision following the Big 12's public reprimand of the school.
Which is total BS, if you ask me.
Did you know West Virginia's president is the chairman of the Big 12 board of directors?
How am I not surprised? So I guarantee then that what happened was Dana Holgorsen went back, complained to him.
I read somewhere that the last time a team was fined for rushing the field just so happened to also be against the West Virginia Mountaineers.
Seriously?
And it was Texas Tech.
Wow. And when was that? Do you know
what year? Like a year or two ago. I don't know for sure.
So again, Iowa State rushed the field last year against TCU. Didn't get fined. This year they do. So obviously there's something different.
I also thought that this field rush was considerably more
tame.
Yeah, contained than what the one against TCU was.
Yeah, like we've had a few in the past, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And I feel like this one was good. Like it was like everyone knew what to do. Like we've been through the process a few times now.
Well, and the fact that they knew they were going to win, like we knew we were going to win so far in advance of the end of the game,
like
that it gave everybody a chance to move forward.
The students in the upper deck had come down into the hillside area and they were getting ready to rush the field with like 5 minutes left on the game clock.
Yeah, I don't know. The field rushing thing is really stupid. I spent a long time talking about that yesterday on Football and Random Things. I still think that Dana Holgorsen is just being a
sore loser.
Just being a sore loser, being a little bit of a B word. That's what I said yesterday.
He is.
And I don't feel bad about it. But on the bright side, Iowa State is now in the doghouse. And that also means that you can take advantage of this opportunity that we are all now criminals. We are all now criminals.
Yeah.
Outlaws in the eyes of the Big 12 Conference, and you can go and buy a Cyclone Fanatic shirt.
And I haven't pointed this out, but I was thinking, like, if you could get a version, I don't know if this is possible, if there was a version of a t-shirt that was like striped, like, you know, like a
that'd be awesome,
you know, like a jail cell like uniform,
right?
That'd be really cool.
But there are now black shirts with white lettering that say publicly reprimanded 10/13/18. You can also get a Cyclone Fanatic shirt that, in honor of Dana Holgorsen, says unprofessional fan across the chest, which I thought was awesome. And I think that the greatest troll move in the history of America would be if we sent both of them to the West Virginia football offices and addressed it to Dana Holgorsen.
Yeah, that would be funny. And it would be cool to know that they actually received it and didn't like immediately throw it in the trash. But you know that they're just going to get it and dispose of it immediately.
Yeah, they'd be like, stupid Iowa State.
Wow, screw these guys.
Yeah, I think they're probably already saying that right now based on the way that everything has gone in the last 2 days.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, Daniel Holgorsen's comments in the postgame presser were totally unprofessional in his own manner. Like, they were just ripping on his team, not giving any credit to Iowa State at all.
I'm just going to come out and say that I don't think anything that nothing that West Virginia did during the game, after the game, or in the days since would fall under the umbrella of professional.
No.
This has been as poorly handled of a situation, as poor of a handling of a loss as I've ever seen not even just while I've been covering athletics, but like,
yeah,
while I have just been following sports.
Like, if I was a West Virginia fan and my coach said those things that he said, I would be embarrassed for the state of the football program.
The only problem is I think that there are different breed of people out there in Morgantown.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
I just think that they are just different.
I do understand the frustration because, again, you're undefeated. You've got a Heisman caliber quarterback, and obviously you are not anymore undefeated, and your Heisman caliber quarterback is coming off the worst game of his career, honestly.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what they, I mean, it's like they were shocked. I don't know how surprised they, why they were so surprised. Dana Holgorsen said a ton of nice stuff about Iowa State, like in his press conference last week. That's why I was so surprised to hear him act the way he did during the postgame press conference.
Yeah.
I understand being upset, but it's like, dude, just, you lost, like, just give credit to the other team at least once, you know?
And I wonder if how badly they got beat factored into it, because again, Iowa State put up more than triple like West Virginia's total yards in the game. It was a complete and utter beatdown.
You went to the game, didn't you?
I did.
Did you rush the field?
No, I did not.
Why not?
I've been there, done that.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. But I did get to watch from the upper deck as others rushed, and it was equally fun.
Did you have fun though?
I did.
What were your impressions? Just not, okay, I think that the game has been dissected thoroughly at this point. And this is what Jeff and I were talking about yesterday on Football and Random Things, which we go off on random tangents anyway, but I think we went off on even more just because of the fact that it's like, I would say kick their ass. It's like, that's all you got to say to really put into terms like how the game went, you know? What do you think of the atmosphere, being someone that sat in the crowd?
It was easily... And again, I don't go to every game, but I've been to my fair share of great games for Iowa State, and I think that was the best crowd that I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, I mean, I think that of all the games I've been to, that was probably the most amped up crowd I've ever seen. And we talked about this last week, just how we thought that this would be a jacked up crowd with all the things surrounding it.
And they were, like, there was a point in the first half at some point where once West Virginia was on offense, like instead of Iowa State fans, you know, getting up on third down and like getting loud, then they were getting up on every down that they had the ball and just making a ton of noise.
Yeah.
And then that carried over for the rest of the game. And then obviously the light stunt with the cell phones in the second half, that was totally organic, was super awesome.
Yeah. I mean, where'd you sit at? Like how did you see that all? What was your vantage point for seeing that all come together?
We were in section D, which is on the west upper deck side.
Okay.
Closer to the band. So we were kind of on the 20 yard line, I'd say. So
you were close to the student section.
Well, no, on the west side. So the opposite side of the student section.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. But okay. Yeah, I mean, the vantage point was awesome. You could basically see the entire stadium from up there.
Right. Yeah. And I thought that I just saw it start in the student section. Then all of a sudden it was like, I mean, it took a few seconds, but it just gradually just like more and more of these. And I, you know, that the people that if you're sitting on one side of the stadium, like you can't see all the way to one end. So it had to be where the people were looking at the student section and then the people across from them saw it. Mm-hmm. And then it was just like gradual where it was just like, you saw the people across from you doing it and you're like, oh, this is what we're doing. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of how it went. Like we saw the student section. And then a few more people from our vantage point to the right of the student section in the regular crowd started doing it too. So then we started it and then it kind of just filled in from there.
Do you know what that song was that they played when they did it?
I don't know the name of the song. They played it multiple times during games.
But I know they did it.
I don't know.
Because they did it once and then it kind of happened again later. And I know that they played a Tupac song the second time.
Oh, did they?
I think. Or at least the first song turned into a Tupac song. I can't remember exactly how it went, but I remember noting like, oh yeah, playing some Tupac now, you know?
Whatever song it was good. It was a good time.
And then they played the Tom Petty song again, and that was awesome.
Which is kind of randomly in the middle of the fourth quarter. They had played that between the third and fourth quarter of games last year, which was kind of like you wondering if that was going to be the permanent song in that position. But
I think that the game was still close enough in between the third and fourth quarter. At that point, if the game is still in doubt at that point, I want something that's just going to get everybody jacked up, you know? And then that should be the song where it's like, all right, the game's over. Like now we're all going to sing this and stuff.
I mean, I kind of agree, but I also kind of don't because like, you know, won't back down. It's kind of like, even if you're losing, that lyric still applies, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
But I mean, it's still great to hear. It's kind of becoming its own little tradition too, so it's nice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they'll ever do, like, the light thing will ever happen again. Even if it does, I don't think it'll be the same.
And it was so natural and, like, in the moment then.
Well, and that's what made it so cool was that you had no idea that it was coming.
Yeah.
And the fact that I think if they ever were going to do it again, you would know that it was coming and it just wouldn't be the same.
Yeah. I could see Iowa State marketing like being like, oh yeah, make sure you do the whole light thing here between the third and the fourth quarter on the next night game. And it's not going to be near as cool.
Just right.
It's organized.
Yeah. But who knows when the next night game will be either. I can't imagine any of the rest of the games on this schedule will be night games.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised that Iowa State versus Texas Tech got slated for 11 a.m. honestly.
Yeah, I was thinking it would probably be 2:30. Mm-hmm. I thought that it maybe would get that 2:30 ABC slot, but I don't know what the rest of the schedule is like that day.
Mm. I shouldn't say. I don't know for sure, but I think Oklahoma, whoever they play that week, got the ABC slot. It might be Kansas, actually.
So, what?
Yeah.
I have it pulled up, I think.
Google now. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it might be Oklahoma, Kansas for the 2:30 ABC slot.
If that is the case, then no. The 2:30 slot is Kansas State and Oklahoma on Fox.
Oh, okay. So not Kansas.
No. And then Texas, Oklahoma State is at 7 on ABC. That is the primetime game of the night.
Well, yeah. Oklahoma State's not that good, but still, I mean, now that Texas is quote unquote back, like they're going
to they are going to Stillwater.
But yeah. They're going to get all the good time slots, you know?
Yeah. I don't know about that one. How about this game? I'm sure this will draw a phenomenal crowd to Lawrence, Kansas. TCU and Kansas on Friday night with a time TBD. I don't know why the time would be TBD. Maybe they're going to play it at 11 in the morning on Friday because they know nobody will want to come.
It's going to be a very sparse crowd, I would imagine.
Yeah. What an atmosphere. I'm sure they'll be walking into there for the Friday night game.
The Kansas fans won't think they're going to win, and I would imagine there's not that many TCU fans within, you know, a square radius of Norman. So
yeah.
Or not Norman, excuse me, Lawrence.
Things are not going very well for TCU right now either based on the way the game on Saturday went. But
and honestly, that's going to be like the TCU loss this year. That's going to be a game that I think Iowa State really wishes they had back.
Well, that's what Jeff and I were talking about yesterday too. I think it was Jeff. I can't remember if it was Jeff or if I was on the radio. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. All these things run together. But someone asked me if I would rather have the Iowa game back or the TCU game back. And of the two, I would say the TCU game just because of the fact that I think now we are seeing that TCU is not that good.
Yeah.
Whereas Iowa, I think we are seeing they are actually pretty good. Mm. Oklahoma obviously is pretty good. That TCU game, though, that is the one that Iowa State should have won that game.
And Iowa State would like be more in the conference title game conversation had they won that. Like they're technically
they'd be in a tie for second place.
So like they're in it to a degree right now, but they would just be much more in it had they beat TCU.
See, and I don't understand. Okay, so everybody's talking about how they've got this opportunity if Iowa State
wins out.
In theory, was to win out of the regular season, that they would be in the Big 12 championship game. How does that make sense? Texas is undefeated, so they just have one loss. Oklahoma still only has one loss. West Virginia still only has one loss. I know you assume that like West Virginia probably will lose to Oklahoma and Texas. But at that point, wouldn't Iowa State want West Virginia to beat Oklahoma and then lose to Texas?
I saw a tweet this morning and there was like 8 scenarios that Iowa State could theoretically finish in the second spot in the conference.
Okay.
I don't have that handy, but there's actually more scenarios than you would think that would lend Iowa State into the championship game.
I just didn't understand that because there's
Obviously they
already have 2 losses.
Even if they win out, they do need quite a bit of help.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
But the thing is,
I think even on Chris's show, they were saying if Iowa State won out, they would go to the game. And I was like, well, that's not
they would. The thing is, like a lot of the upper echelon teams, they do play each other coming up here soon.
Yeah.
So they're going to beat each other up to it.
I guess you're assuming that those teams will beat each other.
Yeah.
Beat each other up a little bit.
Well, but I think there's still a good chance that West Virginia could beat Texas and hand them a loss. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Oklahoma and West Virginia still have to play, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's I think the second to last week of the season.
Yeah, so there's still quite a bit that could go on coming down here down the stretch.
It's a long ways away still. I don't know if I want to talk about that much.
Yeah. And Iowa State, obviously, in all these scenarios, they have to basically win out. And so that's a task in and of itself.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
I do not find it probable.
No. If you handed me a $100 bill and I had to put it down on how many losses Iowa State would finish the year with, I'd probably say one loss, and that loss being to Texas.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would bet on. I think that they're better than everybody else besides Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if the game was in Ames, I would feel better about that they could win that game. Just the fact that they have to go to Austin.
Mm.
Man, how stupid is that going to be that game is only going to be on the Longhorn Network?
Oh my gosh, that's a travesty.
And dude, I'm pretty sure that there's carriers in, like, the carriers in Iowa have dropped the Longhorn Network. I have DirecTV. I don't think I can get it.
That's the thing. Like, are the sports bars around here even going to have it?
No. I don't think anyone will be able to watch the game.
Like, you're going to have to stream it illegally online, basically. Unless you subscribe, which I'm guessing not very many people do.
To ESPN Plus or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, what an absolute joke, dude. That game could end up being a huge game.
Yeah.
Because at that point, if this is how it played out, then Iowa State will have had a win over Texas Tech, a win over Kansas, and a win over Baylor before then, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, Iowa State could be a top 20, top 15 team.
Yeah.
If Texas keeps winning, they'll be a top 10 team, a team contending probably even to get into the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to put that game on the Longhorn Network?
Yep.
What a joke, man.
It is. Dude, I'm so ready for the Longhorn Network to die.
Well, and I get that they had to do it just because...
But why not put... Like, okay, I don't know. Is the Texas KU game, is that in Austin this year, or is it in Lawrence? Do we know? Because if, like, in my mind, that game, if you're playing Kansas at home, that should automatically be the one you pick for.
Well,
that.
And I think that is just it's at Kansas.
Okay.
I think that is just a disgusting oversight by the Big 12. I mean, to do that, and if they're not going to, but
okay,
if the Big 12 wanted to do what is good for them, especially if Iowa State keeps winning, they would move that game to a different channel. It's at 7:00. That game legitimately could be a ABC primetime game.
Yeah. And it would draw a lot of viewers outside of the two fan bases too, just because, you know, Texas is involved for one thing.
Yeah.
And if they both end up being ranked, then it would be,
that would be a high stakes game nationally.
Yep.
That's just stupid. It's annoying to me.
Yeah.
But no, that crowd on Saturday makes me even more confident in what we talked about with the Kansas State game, how angry that crowd is going to be.
Oh, dude, yeah.
That crowd, like, they will just be jacked up. Is it out of the realm of possibility that if Iowa State beat Texas Tech, could they sell out, you think, those last two home games?
Yeah, I think they could. Honestly, I think the fan base is ready to embrace a winner, and I think they'll dole out the cash if they need to.
Yeah. I think that would, I was thinking about that. That very legitimately would be possible.
Yep.
Let me throw another scenario out there for you. Yesterday, the Bear from College Game Day listed Iowa State as the most likely school that has never hosted College Game Day to host it for the first time moving forward. Cy-Hawk next year?
I was actually discussing this with my friend, and I thought that, yes, the Cy-Hawk game would be a great candidate for game day, from game day's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But we both agreed that it would be terrible from an Iowa State perspective, just because Hawkeye fans could come and flood game day at Iowa State for the first time if they really wanted to. Like, they could come and crash the party, and that would be really,
man, sucky. I think that the crowd would be so big that it wouldn't even matter.
I would hope so, but at the same time, you know that there's going to be a ton of Hawkeye flags and, like, in the background and stuff like that.
But there's always other schools' flags.
But you know how Hawkeye fans are, dude.
I know. I don't know, man. I think if it's going to happen, that would be the...
I
know. I think they made it clear that they want to get to Ames. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit's talking about how they want to get to Ames.
And I would be very curious to see, obviously we won't know until next year, but what Iowa State's conference schedule looks like at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be the most likely time that game day would come, because the weather would still be nice, and, you know, it's just, you know, a better atmosphere, because Iowa State fans would theoretically be more, I don't know.
That would be as exciting, dude, and this is what Jeff and I were talking about yesterday, just with what these two teams potentially could have coming back. it's inside the realm of possibility that they're both top 20 teams to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be without a doubt the most highly anticipated Seahawk game of all time.
It would. And honestly, again, like I said, from a game day perspective, like that would be a pretty great time to come to Ames.
Man, could you, I can't even imagine what that would be like. I feel like I'd be concerned that there'd be brawls in the,
yeah. That would
it would be, turn into that. It would be the game day brawl of 19.
Yeah. Cause it would be both a massive crowd just for game day being there, an angry crowd because obviously it's Iowa and everyone would just be like, take it up to a whole nother level.
Yeah. And it would be a drunken crowd.
Yeah. Big time.
That would be also a factor. All right, we're going to do something. Oh wait, no, we're going to do underrated underdog first.
Moving it up. And
yeah, this, we're doing something different for the second segment.
You teased it on Twitter. We have a new segment,
right? We've shuffled things around a little bit.
Yep.
All right. So you didn't believe in my underrated underdog last week.
Nope.
I had my tweet ready to tweet at you and say, and it was going to be a GIF of Scott Frost, just something where it's like when Fitzy doesn't believe in your underrated underdog pick of the week. And then somehow Nebraska invent a school that in the last like 5 years has continually invented new ways to win, invented even another one, when they lost their game at Northwestern on Saturday.
Yeah.
And while I was going up to Ames on, I was listening to it on the radio at the end of the game, and I thought I was physically going to puke. I was sick.
It had to have been painful, dude. Because Nebraska had a 10-point lead with like what, 5 minutes left?
5 minutes to play.
Yeah. And I honestly, when I...
They were up 14 at one point in the fourth quarter.
When they were up 14 in the fourth quarter, I was thinking, because at that point, my underrated underdog was also winning by a lot. And I was thinking,
it'll be the first time in history.
I'm going to win. A good joke. I was thinking just like, I'm going to tweet Jared. We both had a great week. We both had good picks. I'm going to tweet at him. It's going to be awesome. And then, yeah, Nebraska pissed it down their leg.
They did cover.
Yes.
So that's something.
Wait. Are you sure that they covered? Oh, yeah.
The line was 3.5.
That was right.
Because Chris made Northwestern his lock at 3.5.
Yep.
In the hook, got him.
My actual friend, not my fake friend, but my actual friend, he had Northwestern covering, so that was too bad for him. Although, like, again, with 5 minutes left, you figured they were going to lose anyway, so it's not like you can complain a whole lot.
Yeah, I don't... Like I said, I don't know. I physically thought I was going to throw up. Because I was like, I can't take this anymore.
So did you hear the scramble and interception in overtime on the radio?
Yes.
That was tough to watch live, even as a Cyclone fan.
I heard Northwestern's last drive in regulation to tie the game, and I heard overtime on the radio. I was just like, of course. The thing I said to my friend while we were watching the game, before we left for Ames, I said, there's no way that Nebraska and Iowa State will win today. I was like, if Nebraska wins, I just know how my luck goes on Saturdays and during college football. There's no way that both of these teams will win. That would be too convenient for me. And I thought to myself, I was like, would I rather have Nebraska win this one or would I rather have Iowa State win? And in my mind, I was like, I'd rather have Iowa State win because I'm going to be there. And then it was like God listened to me while the sports God, not the actual God, but sports God simultaneously like made me happy while also playing a sick joke on me.
Yeah. Took your thoughts too literally. So Nebraska has a losing streak going back into last year, correct?
I believe it is now 10 games.
So the last time that both Iowa State and Nebraska both won probably had to have been October last year or something like that, right?
Yeah, and I think that Nebraska's last win was like on a Thursday, so.
So they probably didn't even win the same day?
No.
Wow. So if Iowa State keeps winning, then Nebraska's going to keep losing. That's how it goes.
On the bright side, Nebraska's favored this weekend and Iowa State won't play, so.
That's right.
Maybe that could break the streak there.
Very true.
All right.
So as I mentioned, Yeah, you might have lost, but my underdog won. Duke.
You broke out of your futility. I'm proud of you.
Hey, and I got a lot of crap for that. I'm just saying. And now I'm only one game back in the overall season standings. So don't count a good man down when he's down.
I'm pissed that you got the team that you did this week because there is no way in hell after what they did last week should they be an underdog.
Yeah.
Just say it. Say who you got.
I've got Oregon. They are picked to lose by 3 points at Washington State.
And since you picked them, the line is already down to 2.5.
Hey, there you go.
I'm willing to bet you by the time that game starts, Oregon will be favored.
It opened at 2.5 though, didn't it? Like I think it went in Washington State's direction to start.
Like I get the fact that Washington State's number 25 team in the country, Oregon's number 12.
They've got game day this week too.
And they've got game day. What has Washington State ever done that would make anyone feel confident that, oh yeah.
See, and that's the thing. Like
they should be favored in this
one. I can
one.
Totally see this being it's game day's first trip to Pullman, and I can totally see it being the kind of thing where, hey, everyone's all pumped up all day. They play the game and then they get beat by Oregon.
Like, what is the atmosphere in Pullman worth? Is it worth 3 points? I can't imagine.
I don't know.
I'd like to know what the line would be on a neutral field because I can't imagine that Washington State would be favored.
Probably a pick 'em, I would say. Still, though.
What a joke.
And that's why I texted you on the way over here because that's like the strongest pick of the week by far.
Right now, the lowest ticket to that game on SeatGeek, $380.
Ooh.
What a demand for the night game in Pullman.
Yeah. I guess that's the game day bump.
Something like that. All right. So, yeah, you've got the Ducks. Didn't you take them last? No, you took Duke last week.
Yep.
They were a good pick last
Duke,
week.
Duke won by 2 touchdowns over Georgia Tech.
I've got Michigan State +7 at home against Michigan because literally there's no other good underdogs.
Yeah, it was a really bad week for this segment.
There's only two Big 12 games. Both of them are trash.
Mm.
And both of the lines are huge. And like the only other lines that were remotely close are the aforementioned Nebraska game in which they are favored. So I'm not touching that.
Mm.
And then
I think Stanford was picked to win by like 2.5 over Arizona State.
That was the other one. Arizona State is trash, so I'm not touching them. Ole Miss was favored over Auburn. Not touching that. I think that was the only ones that I looked at that I was legitimately like, okay, yeah, I could see it.
There are a lot of touchdown plus lines this week.
What a joke, man.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
So next week, we can pretty much expect me to be tied up with you and can go from the rest of the year from there.
Come on, Sparty. I need you. I need you. All right. We'll do this. We'll do this new thing when we come back. You're listening to Stands and Fits, presented by the professional MBA program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hello, Fanatics. This is Chris Williams. There are few financial commitments you will make in your life that are more important than where to get your mortgage from. That's why I want to tell you about my friend Jason Larson at Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny. Here's a real review from a client on Facebook. Jason was amazing to work with. He kept in contact with us where we were at throughout the whole process. When we went to sign, he had coffee and donuts for us that morning. He was super kind and helpful, and we said we would refer him to anyone looking to buy a home. Now, that's just one review. Jason Larson, Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny, is an equal housing lender. Their NMLS number is 138063. Give them a call at 515-554-6177. Please tell him that Chris Williams and Cyclone Fanatics sent you. Hey, guys, it's Williams here. On the podcast, on our radio shows, we talk a lot about point spreads, you know, all that stuff. To be honest, I'm not a big bettor, but I'm really just fascinated by that industry. And I want to recommend a service to you guys today if you're interested in that sort of thing. MyBookie.ag is the website. If you join right now and if you give them our promo code, they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. This is a really good deal. Our promo code is 2427. Again, that promo code is 2427. They have live in-game, live betting. They're in the business for you fantasy guys out there. You can bet over-under on fantasy points for players. There's all sorts of really cool things. MyBookie.ag. Again, that promo code is 2427. 6-2-7. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.ag. Hey, guys, it's Chris Williams. We're in the heart of football season now, and I got to tell you, I feel a lot better than I did a year ago, and I owe a lot of that to Dr. Kruger at the Ames Eye Clinic. Also, their Des Moines location is, they're called Des Moines Eye Care in Des Moines. Same guys, really great eye doctors. I never thought that I had eye problems. I don't really have problems seeing or anything like that, but I was suffering from chronic headaches. I mean, it was nonstop. I always had a headache. And I think a lot of it was because I stared at a screen all day. Dr. Kruger took a look at my eyes, took him about a half hour, and he knew exactly what was wrong. Prescribed me some glasses that now I use while I'm on my computer, while I'm working for you guys at Cyclone Fanatic all day. And man, has it made a difference. I'm even sleeping better. I challenge you, if you have a problem like this, any sort of eye problem, to contact our friends at Des Moines Eye Care and the Ames Eye Clinic. You can check out DesMoinesEyeCare.com. or AmesEyeClinic.com. I would encourage you to do this and tell them that we sent you. Tell them thank you for supporting what we're doing here at Cyclone Fanatic.
Welcome back to Stands and Fits. All right, time for a new segment called Very Real Questions from Very Real Listeners. People don't know, we have a very extensive mailbag list that we compile here at Stands and Fits. We get hundreds of notes a week, and often we just choose to not answer them.
Yeah, because we're really mean.
We're really mean. We have much more important things to talk about, but it's the bye week, so we figured we might as well answer some questions from some very real listeners. Very real questions from very real listeners.
Mm-hmm.
All right, first one. Dana H. from Morgantown asks, is field storming responsible for male pattern baldness?
Well, Dana, I'm not sure that there's any correlation between field storming and male pattern baldness. Would you have anything to say to that?
I mean, at this point, I don't think we can rule it out. Has science ruled it out?
That's true.
As far as I know, they haven't.
There hasn't been any studies that have proven otherwise.
I think that the only thing we can do is to commission a study. And I think that this is an important question that needs to be answered. Maybe a study that would per se cost $25,000.
Ooh, I like that.
It's just an idea.
Okay.
All right. Tom H. from Austin asks, there's no way Iowa State upsets another ranked team this year, right?
I would say that Iowa State has a few more opportunities to upset a ranked team, actually.
They'll at least have an opportunity against, I think they'll have an opportunity against Texas Tech. They received votes. So if they get a win this week, and if what happened has happened the last 2 weeks with the teams in the AP poll, I would assume Texas Tech will be ranked.
Mm-hmm.
At least they'll be close. So we'll throw that one in there as a consideration. And then the aforementioned game against Texas in Austin, right now would also be a possibility.
That game in particular, I think they could have a chance of upsetting a ranked team.
So Tom, if you do want to watch Iowa State upset another ranked team, I would suggest maybe get tickets to that game in Austin.
Yeah, at least tune in on the Longhorn Network.
I'm sure they get the Longhorn Network in Austin.
I would hope so.
I would hope so, too. I'm sure Tom has it on his TV package.
Okay.
Alan L. from Jacksonville asks, why has everybody already forgotten how good I was?
Forgotten how good you were at what, Alan? I'm sorry. We need more context to this question.
Yeah, I don't know really what he's talking about. I have no clue.
Please provide more info. Submit that in the mailbag.
Send us another question, Alan. You act like we know who you are.
Yeah,
I have no clue who you are.
Very pompous of you.
All right, here's the next one. Brian F. from Iowa City asks, what is the best remedy for explosive diarrhea? Jesus, Brian.
To be honest,
I guess...
I've never really dealt with explosive diarrhea.
Some sort of like Pepto-Bismol or something?
Probably.
Does that...
Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea. But
it doesn't say explosive.
They don't say explosive. So for Brian F.'s specific case, they might need something a little bit more strong.
I mean, maybe get a water filter. Like, I don't know what they put in the water in Iowa City. I know that there are some kind of parasites that can be in the drinking water that could potentially upset stomach.
When you said water filter, I was thinking like something that you could put literally like on the toilet.
Oh, no. No.
Okay. So don't take my advice, Brian. Go with the water system.
I think there could be something in the water system. That's just my
Okay.
God damn it. All right. Urban M from Columbus asks, what? He says, sorry, I forgot my question.
That's unfortunate, Urban. If you remember your question, please do write back.
How do you forget your question in the time that you think of it and then to type it and send it to us?
I don't know. That's very odd. I mean, why would he just even send that? Why would he just like, why wouldn't he just keep it to himself?
He could have just deleted it. He could have deleted the whole thing and just...
And denied it ever
happened. Forgot that it ever happened. Yeah, deny that it ever happened.
Yep.
I'm sure everyone would have forgot about it then.
Mm-hmm.
Bill S. from Lawrence asks, how do you delete old calls and texts from your phone? Also, what is the best way to go about erasing a government witness? Wow.
Sounds like Bill.
This got heavy quick.
Bill has a few problems, it sounds like.
Yeah. Well, hey, on the bright side, maybe we can get Bill and Urban together. We can give them their contact info.
Ooh.
I mean, Urban.
They would probably really hit it off.
I'm sure Urban knows how to delete stuff. I mean, clearly he doesn't know how to delete things from sending them to us. Mm-hmm. But I think that would be a good tandem to get together, maybe have a conversation about that.
Agreed. Share a coffee sometime, Urban and Bill.
As far as erasing a government witness, I don't think this is a anti-murder podcast.
Anti-hitman, assassination, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
We are anti that.
John H. from Ames asks, can you give me some advice for negotiating a raise?
Well, be really good at your job.
Yeah, I think that's the first piece.
Yep.
I'm going to assume that John's good at his job.
He sounds like it is. I'm just based on his name alone, I just get good vibes from John.
Yeah.
It's a very noble name.
Yeah. John seems like a great guy. Maybe it would help to look like a badass while you do your job.
Maybe wear sunglasses at night or something like that.
Yeah. Maybe wear some sunglasses at night. Maybe help your job, other people at your job succeed by toppling other companies ranked highly in your industry. I think that would be another way to further prove your worth to the program to the company that you might work for that you are hoping to get a raise from. I'm sure you're worth your raise, John.
And if you have anything in your history at your company that would like be a signal, you can point at that one time where you did one thing, you changed something and it completely turned around the revenue of your company, then use that in your interview, John, when you're renegotiating a raise.
Exactly. In your performance review. Yep. And if you need a recommendation, I'm sure that someone here at Cyclone Fanatic would be happy to give you a recommendation that you should get a raise.
Yep.
I'm sure, Chris and Rob, anybody, I'm sure all of us would be happy to do that, write you a nice letter. Fran M. from Iowa City asks, do you guys have recommendations for anger management programs?
I do not, unfortunately. I have never dealt with anger issues.
I have not either. Maybe break a clipboard.
I would say
that would maybe help you just feel better.
Yeah. That's very specific.
Maybe just let it out. Yell.
Yoga could help.
Yoga could.
Breathing techniques.
Yeah. Just breathe and really the best thing is just don't hold it in, you know, like don't hold in your emotions. Just let it all out. And sometimes you just have to explode.
Yeah. And if your face gets really red and spit flies everywhere, don't worry about it. It happens.
It happens to the best of us. It's okay. Steve P. from Ames asks, Jared, I've heard you have had mono before. What is the best way to assure a quick recovery? Steve must have listened to last week's podcast.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve.
Best way to assure a quick recovery. Well, stop hanging out with people that have mono is the first thing I would say. Stop sharing bodily fluids with them. And that would be another thing. Mm-hmm. And then just get a lot of rest, you know, just rest up and hopefully it'll be gone in, you know, 3 weeks or, you know, in the next, you know, hopefully before November 6th.
And we were talking about this last week. You had a very specific case because you were on a basketball team when you had mono.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were giving Steve specific advice related to your situation, you would also say that if you can help it, don't be associated with basketball because that's just a lot of extra energy that you have to put forth.
Yeah. And you're weak, you know, your muscles are tired. You don't want to be jostled around. Don't want to have a lot of contact.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's best to, you know, just avoid that if you are in a situation where you have mono.
Mm-hmm.
But once you're back, you've been cleared, then you're good to go. I think you'll be okay.
All right.
There you go, Steve. That's what we've got for you on when it comes to mono. Bill S. from Manhattan asks, this is so impersonal. Why don't you have people submit questions via the Postal Service instead?
You know, that's a good idea. I think occasionally we could open up the actual mail, the mailbag.
Maybe we should get a P.O. box.
Yeah. We need to accommodate people who are wanting to get at us from every possible way.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody knows that handwritten letters are so much more genuine than any other form of
communication.
Yeah. You know, like you're really taking the time to think about that person when you send them a letter, you know, and really taking the time to put some thought into that.
And if we did receive a personal written letter from Bill S. from Manhattan, mm-hmm. then that would touch my heart personally.
It would touch my heart, and I would 100% believe that he really actually cared about me enough to write me that letter and was being very genuine and was not doing it for any other motives.
So that's a great suggestion, Bill. Thank you.
Yeah, we will keep that in mind, Bill. Bo P. from Youngstown asks, will you guys get a hold of me if Matt leaves?
I believe he's referring to Matt Campbell.
Yeah. I mean, Bo, can you coach football? I don't know. Maybe you should have send us your resume.
Yeah, please. If you have any past history with coaching at a high level, we would like to know.
We'd like to know. And I mean, the other thing is we'd like to know that can you get a team over the hump? I mean, is your team known for collapsing in big games, or have you ever been embarrassed on the national stage or anything like that? Because I mean, Iowa State's had that happen before. I don't think we really want to go back to that point again.
And another thing is, what's your sideline demeanor like? Like, because Iowa State is, Jimmy Pollard's kind of trying to cultivate a family mm-hmm. and atmosphere, a welcoming atmosphere. So are you the kind of person that is opening and welcoming to all criticism, or are you more of a hardline like kind of person, you know?
Yeah, and the media here is pretty tough. Like, if you can't handle the media in Ames, you know,
you're gonna get run out of town.
You're gonna get run out of town. Like that's just how it goes. Jamie P. from Ames asks, "Can I borrow $25,000?"
From me? No.
Yeah, from us? No. Probably not. I don't think we were the right people to contact about this.
This makes you wonder what Jamie has in his life that he requires $25,000 for.
I hope you find your $25,000, Jamie. I'm sure that there are people out there that would be very happy to help you get that $25,000 and to, you know, do with it what you need to do. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are a large group of people that would be very happy to help that out. Bob B. from Dallas asks, I'm sorry. Are you guys mad at me?
Well,
I don't,
you for what, Bob?
Yeah, I don't know what we'd be mad about.
I can't possibly think of one thing.
If we were, we probably wouldn't give you a public reprimand in this public forum on this podcast.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Bruce W. from Manhattan. Is Bruce Weber elite? Be honest.
Okay. I was waiting for that one.
Absolutely, Bruce. Absolutely, Bruce W. Bruce Weber is 100% elite. Went to the Elite Eight last year. I've been the driver of the Bruce Weber elite train forever, always. I mean, I have never once fallen off the wagon, and I will maintain it. Bruce is most certainly elite.
I will tell you one thing. Bruce Weber is definitely elite at giving us great gifs.
He is the best at giving us great gifs.
There are so many good Bruce Weber gifs. Yes. Gifs are out there.
I've got to be honest. I don't know what word I'm looking
grand
for.
Grand scheme of things.
Yeah, no, I have a folder on my phone titled Bruce Weber Reactions.
Seriously?
Yes. I've got some really good ones.
Nice. You might have to spill some of those. Sometime.
All of them are from the NCAA tournament last year.
Oh, really?
In which Bruce Weber took Kansas State to, let's hear it again, the Elite Eight.
I mean, you can't deny that. So I guess, yes, our official consensus is Bruce Weber is elite.
He's most certainly elite. Brock P. from Ames asks, does anyone know the dimensions of the Heisman Trophy? I'm in the market for a shelf, and I want to make sure it's big enough. Man, that's really, it's really specific, Brock.
Here's the thing, though. You have to consider that even though you might get one Heisman Trophy, you also could get more Heisman Trophies, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So even though you might be thinking one shelf for one Heisman Trophy is big enough, you might want to get a bigger one just in case.
I mean, I don't see, like, why keep it at one? Why keep it even two?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, three, you know, it's...
Yeah.
Has anyone ever won the Heisman three times? No, they haven't. But there's a first time for everything, Brock.
Yeah. So if that's your aspiration, Brock, to somehow come into multiple Heisman trophies, then make sure you plan for it.
Yeah. And maybe ask the people at Iowa State, because I'm sure that they would be happy to help you plan out building a place to keep a Heisman. I think that would be, I think that'd be great. All right. We're not going to take another break on this podcast. You can take over here on the, on the list though.
So, we're roughly halfway through our mailbag here. Don T from DC asks, how are things in Boone?
It's oddly specific.
It is.
I mean, I'm sure things are nice in Boone. I haven't been there in quite a while.
I haven't been there either. I think the last time I was there was to go see Ludge's State Park. But
and that's not really even in Boone.
No, it's kind of like south of Boone.
It's like you think that you're in Boone, but you're not.
Yeah.
You know, that, I think that's like what being at Ludge's is like. It's like, yeah, I'm in Boone, but actually I'm not.
Maybe that's what Don is getting confused here. Maybe he thought he was in Boone. But he's not.
That's entirely possible. All right.
All right. Baker M. from Cleveland asks, hey, Dad, how's everything going? Well, I'm not sure.
I don't have a kid, so I think you sent this to the wrong
yeah,
place.
Yeah, I think this meant to go somewhere else. So
things are going well. Thanks for asking.
Yep. Jared U. from St. Petersburg asks, what's the best performance from an opposing player in Hilton Coliseum? Please ignore second half stats.
Man, well, I mean, I guess probably the first one that comes to mind is probably Jared Utoff in, what was that, 2015?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we'll ignore that one, though, because they lost the game.
True, the Hawkeyes did choke in that one.
Yeah, he was grossly outperformed.
I believe he only scored 2 points in the second half, even though we're supposed to ignore that.
Yeah. No, yeah, can't consider that. But,
true.
Yeah. Monte Morris and George Yang severely outplayed him. I mean, my personal favorite, obviously, is when Joel Embiid came because completely dominant for the entire game.
But, yeah. So Jared, that's our official answer.
Yeah, we're I'm going to take second half stats into consideration and say Joel Embiid
Joel Embiid, there we go.
All right.
Paul R. from Los Angeles asks, you know black isn't one of Iowa State's school colors, right?
It's convenient that you live in Los Angeles now, Paul, since Iowa State ditched the USC wannabe jerseys, and now you can go see those jerseys anytime you want to.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm sure you're a nice guy, Paul, but, you know, got to keep up with the times.
Yeah.
The kids want the black uniforms.
Yeah.
People want the black uniforms.
If you want to be a good recruiter at the college level, then give the kids what they want.
Exactly.
You got to know that, Paul.
All right.
All right, moving on. John P. and Gar F. from Chicago both wrote in and asked, so, who is Iowa State's current basketball coach?
I mean, Steve Prohm.
It's Steve Prohm.
Probably could have just Googled that. I don't know why they...
I guess they wanted our insider information if we had any.
That's just Steve Prohm.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
They must be fairly old and not with the times or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they were able to send us... guys, if you can send us the question, you can type the question into Google. Just go ahead and do that.
Please remember that. Kyler M. from Norman asks, does Iowa State have any open baseball scholarships? That's a sore subject, actually, there,
yeah,
Kyler.
Don't bring that up. Let's just move on. That's enough of that.
We don't acknowledge baseball in these parts.
Well, it's not that we don't acknowledge it. It's just gone. It's just gone.
And that's why we don't acknowledge
and
it.
And we don't, yeah. Okay.
Anyways, Larry E. from Colorado asks, where can I get the best deal on Natty Light?
I don't know. I haven't bought Natty Light in a while.
No, the last time I would have bought Natty Light I think would have been probably for our bad beers last year.
Yeah. Where'd you get it at?
I think I got it Come and Go.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if that was the best deal.
No. Here's the best deal. Throw the Natty Light away and just drink Busch Light instead. There you go.
Mike G from Stillwater asks, can you guys go f- yourself?
That's
a very vulgar question.
That was a little excessive, Mike. Who hurt you? You know?
Apparently something bad must have happened to Mike G, and he thinks it was because of us or because of something we associate with.
Man, I don't know what would ever make anybody that sad, that hurt, you know? I mean, maybe...
Admittedly, we get a lot of hate mail, and sometimes these questions get into the segment where we want to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, you know, the only thing I could possibly think that would ever cause some emotion like that, maybe if you were in contention to play for a national title, you know, it got ripped away from you.
Mm.
That's the only thing I can think of. All right.
Okay.
What's next?
Next. Jalen H. from Tuscaloosa asks, what's the depth chart look like?
At what? I mean, on this podcast?
The depth chart looks like Fitz, and then in the second spot is Stans.
No, I think it's Fitz or Stans.
I'm not sure about that. But
it's actually Fitz and Stans. Well, no, it's actually Stans and Fitz. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
then. So I guess
that if that's our depth chart, then that's...
I don't think that's a depth chart.
We're co-starters. Co-hosts.
All right. So we'd have to assume that Jalen refers to our podcast, and definitely not like...
We're not looking for a third host. Sorry, Jalen.
No. Immediately after we got that question, another email from Tuscaloosa came in.
I didn't even know they had email in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, apparently they do. Tua T wrote, how happy should I be that Alabama didn't get Brock Purdy? He would make them so much better. Well, I can't disagree with you there, Tua.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if they'd gotten Brock Purdy, I mean, like...
They'd probably be scoring at least 100 points a game on offense.
Yeah, that quarterback they have is just, he's average at best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one good performance, really. And even then, it was just really just one good throw, a lucky throw. I would say that just because Georgia's defense was... played subpar defense in overtime in the national championship game.
Yeah.
Alabama would probably be widely regarded as the greatest team, not only in college football history, but in the history of American athletics, if Brock Purdy was their starting quarterback.
Very true. And whoever their quarterback is now, I think you have to take into account that whoever it is, they're beating up on all these cream puff SEC defenses.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that Brock Purdy is going against these superior Big 12 defenses.
Superior Big 12 defenses. Just all around just a superior league, you know?
Honestly, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, so I would say, I don't know if you're a Bama fan or if you're a Cyclone fan, Tua, but I would say that anyone who loves Alabama should be disappointed that they have that guy at quarterback rather than
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy. Yep. Yep.
Next one. Will G from Morgantown asks, is there a better strategy than taking a sack when under pressure as a quarterback?
Amen. We should ask Brock Purdy.
That's a good idea. We should have him on the podcast sometime.
Yeah, he was fine with evading sacks.
He was. He found multiple methods. He could actually hit open receivers.
Or he could run away from them.
Yep.
Or he could also just throw the ball away.
Yeah.
And not run clear to the sideline before you just wildly throw the ball up in the air.
Or take sacks.
Yeah.
Yep. So we just gave you three better options there, Mr. Will G from Morgantown.
Yep.
Next one. Monte M from Denver asks, what's your favorite song lyric? Mine is, every rose has its thorn.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
It's a good song.
I like that one.
I like Poison. What's your favorite song lyric?
That's a good question. I would probably not have one. I just like songs. Do you have a favorite? Like, I feel like you're a fan of rap, so you must have a favorite rap lyric.
Yeah, I do. I just can't, like, off the top of my
visualize.
Head.
That's the thing. Like, I have a song that I like, and there's a lot of good lyrics in it, but I can't really recite them off the top of my head. But for whatever reason, this Monte M from Denver must have this Every Rose Has Its Thorn line stuck in his head.
That's fair. That is, I mean, that's a great song, so I understand why that would be the case.
Yeah. Moving on. Pat M from Kansas City asks, Are you guys surprised more players from the 2016 Iowa State defense aren't in the NFL? Those guys were really underrated, if you ask me.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I mean, they were, you know, they were electric.
They were.
Especially towards the tail end of that season.
I think they beat some team. I think it was Texas Tech.
Yeah, Texas Tech.
66-10, I believe, was the final score.
I'm pretty sure that offense was pretty good. I don't know what happened to that quarterback that they had, though.
Yeah. I don't know. He might have just, you know, graduated and then
that dude was a bum. So
went
he's
into
probably
something
gone.
other than football.
Yeah, he probably works at Enterprise or something.
Yeah, selling cars, renting cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the only thing I could think of. But yeah, I'm surprised too. I would think that those guys, multiple of the guys on that team, probably could be the best player in the NFL right now.
Agreed. Surprising that they're not. Fred H. from Chicago asks, on a scale of 1 to Mike Gesell at the free throw line with the game on the line, how much do you guys miss me? So who are we missing, Fred? Again, this is another question that doesn't really have all the context we need.
But I would say that when in doubt, choose Mike Gesell on the free throw line with game on the line when you want things to miss.
Yeah. So if that's the case, then yes, that's what we want.
So there you go.
Final one for the bi-week edition of our one-off segment here on Stands and Fits. Mike S. from Norman asks, is Cyclone Fanatic hiring?
I think we would consider maybe taking another intern.
Ooh. Well, if Mike S. is currently out of a job, unemployed, then maybe he would take that opportunity.
Yeah, if you're looking to get into a new field, you know, I don't know how old you are, Mike. Are you a college student? If you are, you know, that'd be definitely be a good opportunity. I don't know what you really could do for us from Norman, but
It would be unfortunate if you were fired from your previous job, because that's a black eye on Cyclone Fanatic's record for hiring, I would think.
Yeah. So just send us your resume and we can have further discussions.
Sounds good.
All right. So that's the end of the list. Thanks to everybody who sent us in questions, for very real questions from very real listeners. The mailbag is empty. Maybe eventually we will
come back.
Fill it, you know, I'm sure it'll fill up rather quickly, but and we'll have to answer more questions again, maybe towards the end of the season or maybe right before Christmas. That's what we could do.
Empty out the Christmas mailbag.
Yeah,
I like
empty
it.
Out the Christmas mailbag. All right, man. Thanks again to the professional MBA program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University for being the presenting sponsor of Stands and Fits. A little bit of a shorter podcast this week just because of the bye week. And I need to get home so I can watch the 2019 NBA champion Philadelphia 76ers start their run to 108-0.
There you go.
Thanks, man, for coming in.
No problem.
Talk to you guys again next week. Peace.